sing, be quiet.
Alright, it's September 1st, 1988, and we have with us Mariah Monroe. You want to say your name?
It's Mariah Monroe.
Okay, and where were you born?
New Orleans, Louisiana.
And what is your birthday?
February 8, 1958.
And your permanent address?
14210 Grand Prix Road, Apartment 101, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20906.
Okay, you don't want to give your parents?
I was thinking about that. My address has never seemed to be permanent. Well, how many...
This is just for records.
5328 West Pathway, Washington, D. Oh, no, Bethesda, Maryland, 20816.
So I could plunge any moment now. You know, okay, what this is for is I'm doing a book called Attic. Simply Attic. And I'm going to have, like, your photograph, and then a page for you, maybe more. I'm hoping just one page for everybody, and there's going to be, like, 50 people in this book. And what you think is important about you and your life and growing up, and the highlights, what happened, and your spiritual path today, and I'm going to use this, what you say on here in the book, you know, direct quotes, but I'm going to edit it, like I'm going to delete some stuff and redundancies and compact it. So just, you can start with your childhood and just keep talking and wherever you would like to be. You know, hopefully other addicts might read the book and find hope, or the real world might realize that addicts do stay clean. And something that's interesting to go along with your page, your photograph. You can have 90 minutes if you want, and talk for 10 minutes. Just relax and, you know.
And just talk? I was hoping I could, like, you were just going to ask me questions.
Just like we did the other night.
What other night? Oh, over at the Kevin Jam? Yeah. I'm telling you a story. Except for more, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm the youngest of four children, of four women, a family of four girls. And, like I said, I was born in New Orleans. We moved to Washington, D.C. when I was three. My family is fairly well-to-do. And growing up, as far as material things, I had just about everything anyone could want. I wasn't given a lot of things. I don't think I was horribly spoiled. I think I might qualify as being somewhat spoiled. But I think part of the reason I ended up being a drug addict is because I think my family is emotionally dysfunctional. My parents aren't alcoholics, although they drink rather heavily. But I don't think that they were very healthy in a mental sense. And not only am I the youngest, but there's 7 years that separate me from the sister that's next in line. And I think I sort of ended up bearing a lot of the brunt of what was going on in the family. I think I have a lot of, like, typical ACOA issues because of that. Things like wanting to fix everybody. I was very sensitive to the fact that things weren't right in the family, but not really understanding what was wrong or anything like that. And I was always trying to soothe over arguments between people, fights and that kind of thing. I was a lonely child. When we moved here from New Orleans, my mother has told me this. I don't think I really remember saying it, but I told my parents that I was going to make a friend for myself, and that I was going to go out and find some mud and blood and bones and build a friend, which I think is indicative of not having very many friends. So anyway, I was a fairly bright child. I was like average in school. When I was in kindergarten, I had my best friend was in first grade, and I decided that I needed to be in first grade too. And I convinced my parents to talk to the school authorities, and I got pushed up into first grade as well. Does that make? Oh, you're fine.
You're doing wonderfully.
Okay. This is so weird. Feel like I'm talking to myself. Let's see. To millions of people. So anyhow, I think in a lot of ways I had a very typical childhood. I grew up in a suburb of Washington, D.C., and I went to public schools. Got carpooled to the country club on the weekends and stuff like that. I remember when I was around 11 or 12, I started to become aware of my sisters and what they were doing. And I'm sure this happened long before 11 or 12, but at any rate, it was very important to me that I be just like them. And they were into dating guys and smoking cigarettes and smoking pot, all of which they did in front of me. The men I was very interested in, I used to try to flirt with their boyfriends and stuff like that. Cigarettes and smoking pot I was adamantly against. I hated it. It scared me when they were doing that. And I used to steal their cigarettes and hide them so that they wouldn't smoke anymore, things like that. I recently remembered this, and I think I heard someone say lately that all addicts have like a very traumatic experience that after which they sort of turn to drugs, and I think it brought this to mind. And I don't know that this is, it was probably a culmination of a lot of events throughout my life, but at any rate, this one instance stands out in my mind today. And that was when I was 12. I came home from school one day and walked in on my parents getting stoned with two of my sisters and one of my sister's boyfriend. And that pretty much blew me away. I was very against it, and I was certain that my parents were, that society was, and then walking in on this scene, it like knocked me out. I think that I started drinking. That was like the first drug I abused. Right after that, I don't know now if that's the absolute truth, but I don't think it was long after that incident that I started drinking. And it started off as fun, but it also started off in an abusive way. With the first time I drank with friends was to get drunk. The idea was to finish off a complete bottle of wine, not just to have a couple of drinks. And we all got real drunk, and I didn't black out. I don't think I was able to walk by the end of the night. I think I had to crawl home, but I wasn't far from home anyway, so that didn't matter. And then shortly after that, I started smoking pot. There was by this time I was in eighth grade, in my junior high school, and most of the people that I was hanging out with. Well, there was another traumatic experience actually that I think also. The people I have been hanging out with weren't really into drugs, maybe drinking some. And they I had gotten to this situation with this guy, and this is in eighth grade, and we weren't doing anything, but we were going steady. And we broke up. For some reason, he decided I had been unfaithful to him while we were going steady. Why, I've never understood. I don't think I was. At any rate, he managed to sort of turn the rest of the group of kids that I was hanging out with, that we were, the clique I was part of, against me. And they started doing some really horrible things to me. They threw eggs at our house every weekend, and drove up when this, it was actually, I was going to say they drove up on my parents' lawn and ruined the lawn with the wheel marks. But that actually was some years later. They once on my birthday chased me through the school halls with a milk container filled with spit that they were going to pour over my head. Shit like that. So I stopped hanging around with them, and like the group of friends that I started hanging around with were very much into drugs. And that was fine with me. At that point, it was pretty important for me to start medicating my feelings. Having an entire group of kids act like they hated you on a daily basis was a pretty painful thing. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to turn to help, or to turn to anyone and ask for help in dealing with it. My parents were aware of it, because, you know, of all the eggs being thrown at their house every weekend. But I guess they didn't know how to deal with it either. At any rate, so, rapidly, I progressed from smoking pot to taking acid, and experimenting with whatever else was available. There's a time when we would take whatever, I had a very close friend, and she and I would take whatever anyone gave us. And there was a time, I think I came close to really screwing myself up physically, because I took three Tylenols and started throwing up blood and stuff like that. But that didn't matter. It didn't matter at all. We would just go on to the next drug. It did make me stay away from Quaaludes and stuff like that for a long time. There's another time when I was before I was driving, so I was probably 15, and I was at Port Reno Park. We had gotten drunk before leaving to go to Port Reno. When we got there, we found someone selling acid and took some acid, and then sat in a circle of people that were smoking green. At that time, we had never been exposed, or I had never been exposed to green. I don't think my friend had either. And we thought it was pot. I took a couple of huge hits off of the pipe that they were passing around, and spent the rest of the night laying on my back with one thought in my mind, and that was that I was going to die. And obviously I didn't. But it just is, like, I like to pull those memories out of my file to remember how insane all this shit was. And it didn't get insane just when I was 26 and shooting dope. It started being insane pretty early. So at any rate, I got through junior high school, and I got through high school. I never did as well as I could have, as far as getting grades and that kind of thing. I just sort of hung in there, and ended up graduating and going on to college. The school I decided I wanted to be an architect, because that sounded like a neat thing to do, not because I knew anything about it. And I got accepted for one school of architecture, and that was at Tulane University. So I went to a college in New Orleans, which was, for a long time I said that was a mistake. I don't think anymore things are mistakes. I think it's something that happened that way. And it's just part of my story. I don't regret it. But at any rate, I didn't do any school. I started off behind. I didn't know anything about drafting or mechanical drawing or anything to do with architecture. Most of the people there did. And I wasn't really interested in being in school. I was at college because that was what was expected of me. And my drug addiction really took over. I was drinking very heavily. I stopped smoking pot, which is really interesting. It was making me very uncomfortable. I was becoming really paranoid. So I stopped smoking pot, and I started drinking quite a bit. And there was, at that point, it was very obvious, all the blackouts, and the fact that I was really abusing it. I had never really been in touch with the fact that I might have an alcohol problem before I went to New Orleans. And I was aware of it. I didn't do anything about it. I might have a few times tried to not drink as much. I don't remember now. At any rate, what happened is that I went home. I managed to get through that year. I had to leave the School of Architecture, but I was told that I could attend Newcomb, which is a women's school there, on a probationary basis the next semester. And I went home for the summer, and I met this guy. And subconsciously, I decided that he was the guy that was going to rescue me from all of this, from the life that I didn't know how to deal with, and I didn't know how to handle, and couldn't live on my own. And ended up dropping out of school to live with him. Sort of surprising to me in retrospect that we ever got together. He was really straight. He was not an addict, and I tried to become what I thought he wanted me to be. I wasn't capable of doing that. I was capable of spending 3 years with him and not allowing my addiction to become really obvious to him. I don't think that he ever had a clue that I was an alcoholic and an addict. But things didn't work out between us, and as soon as that happened, what I did was go back to school, and that didn't work out. It was the same old story. I would start to fall behind, and my life would become very unmanageable. My school, doing homework and keeping up with papers and that kind of thing, was just impossible for me to do. And I got a job in a bar. At first, the idea was to work part-time just to make extra money. That really was, going to college wasn't working for me. It just wasn't going to happen. It wasn't happening. And I think I knew that, and that's another reason I got this job. And it was great. And after living with this guy for 3 years, shortly after we got together, I dumped all my friends. Made his life, made or just centered my life around him. So when we broke up, I was really, really lonely. And I went to the University of Maryland for a while, and that didn't help. I wasn't able to meet people there. I wasn't living there. I was commuting, and I hated it. And, like I said, I wasn't doing well. So I got a job in this bar, and it was very easy to make friends there. It wasn't long before I was part of the crowd, and there's lots of drugs going on there, lots of dealers that hung out there and that kind of stuff. And I started getting very heavily into cocaine. And that was, it was like another, it was like a whole nother world from what I had been used to, the sort of straight life I had led the previous 3 years. And it was fun at first. It was a club where local bands played, and I got to know a lot of Washington's musicians, and even some national acts, and hang out with people after hours at bars after they were really supposed to be closed and that kind of thing. And we had a lot of wild parties. My parents had a swimming pool in their backyard, and they go out of town every weekend, and I used to have people over to drink their brandy around the pool and snort cocaine at 4 o'clock in the morning after the clubs closed. It was fun for a while, but it started to get old, and the cocaine, just like the marijuana, started to make me feel paranoid and uncomfortable with myself. So I eventually stopped doing that. And I just sort of titrated my use. I stopped buying it and eventually started turning it down when people offered it to me. And I'd like to say that once I decided I wasn't going to smoke anymore and had cut back, that I just completely stopped using it. But actually, I never did. I just, every now and then, I would still do it if someone offered it to me, even though I hated it. And the fact that I could stop smoking pot and stop what I thought was stop using cocaine was something that was part of the huge denial that I had built up about my drug problem. I figured that if you have if you're an addict, then you have an addict mentality, and that I didn't, and that these two cases where I just stopped doing those drugs was proof of that. What happened is that every time I stopped doing those drugs, I just went back to alcohol. I never considered alcohol a drug until I came into this program. So I stopped using coke, and I started looking for something better. And it was very close to a conscious search. I started talking to people about IV drug use, about shooting up, and how much I wanted to try it just once, because I wanted to experience everything once in life. I've heard a lot of addicts say that same, a lot of us use that same line. It's a bunch of shit. But, So after asking around in the place I worked in, it wasn't hard to find people that were into that. And I found a guy that was a junkie and started using heroin. And that eventually was my downfall. It took me 6 years to get strung out to the point. Well, actually, after 3 years, I was strung out to the point where life was becoming too unmanageable for me to ignore what was going on. But I stopped using it. I detoxed off of by buying Valium on the street, and I was able to stay straight from heroin, not from anything else, for I don't know what now it was, maybe 2 or 3 months, and then I started using it again. And the whole time I was living with the same guy. It's strange now that I look back on it, because when I started shooting dope was the same time I decided that I couldn't work in this bar anymore, that I really needed a profession and a career, that I was getting too old to just be a waitress, and I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life and so forth. So I like consciously fucked up or allowed one part of my life to get really out of hand while I sort of straightened up my act in another area. What I did was go into the printing business, and after 3 years of working at one shop and ending up managing it and doing a good job for these people and becoming pretty good and pretty knowledgeable in the printing industry, my addiction started to get out of hand, and I started stealing money from them. And I decided I better look for another job, because like I had screwed things up at this place, and I better get out of there while the getting is good. That kind of attitude. I did find a better job, and so I went to work at this other place, and kept on. Or shortly after I started working there, I started shooting dope again. By that time, I was living with the same guy, and it was a really horrible relationship. I don't think that we really cared for each other. We stayed together because we didn't want to face life alone. And it was a very abusive relationship. A lot of times, I was shooting dope just to run from the feelings of the low self-esteem and the low self-worth and that I had. Sort of bogging down. I'm trying to think where those feelings came from, and I really don't know. I guess there's a whole lot of things. I know that my father's a perfectionist, and I grew up feeling that he expected a lot of me, more than my other sisters. I don't know whether he did, or if he did anything to give me that feeling, if I just manufactured that, but it was hard for me to live up to. My three older sisters, one of them has an IQ, an incredibly high IQ, and the other two had their lives pretty much together. I think that I felt like I couldn't live up to what they were all doing and the life that they were leading, and made the choice of turning to drugs and leading a different kind of life, one that maybe I would be better at, or maybe I could feel, where I could feel superior to a lot of the people that I was hanging out with. Oh, so anyway, heroin is a great drug for becoming very close to comatose without actually being unconscious. I look at it as going back to the womb. When I think about shooting dope, I think about the warm feeling it gives me and the feeling of comfort and safety, and I think it's very, very close to what I feel would be like going back into the womb. Anyway, so eventually things got really so unmanageable that I couldn't deny the fact that I had a problem. I had been living, I had rented 800 million places and been kicked out of them because of not being able to pay the rent because of buying drugs. And the last place I got kicked out of, the house was locked. The locks were changed on the door, so I didn't have access to the house. And there was just like no motivation to get it together and try to find another place, to try to con anybody out of any money to get another place or anything like that. I started staying at the print shop that I was managing, and slept there at night after the shop had closed on a fold-out lounge chair. And it was pretty horrible. I had a few friends that were pretty much as bad as I was, or in as bad shape as I was, and they would stay at this print shop with me at night too. And it was a constant. There was a whole lot of stress involved with that because the owner of the shop really wasn't going to be happy knowing that I was doing that. And besides that, I was stealing quite a bit of money from him. It got to the point where there was absolutely no cash in the cash register, and every day there was a struggle to keep him away from it so he wouldn't discover that. Every day I had to collect the mail before he looked at it, so that he wouldn't see the bounce check notices coming from the bank. The guy I was working for became my brother-in-law after I worked for him for about a year and a half. I introduced him to my sister and we got married. And so I sort of felt some security in stealing from him, that being his sister-in-law probably wouldn't send me to jail. And for a long time I covered it up well. At the end, I stopped. I didn't really care. I think maybe subconsciously I was hoping to be calm. It's very hard for me to describe the last few months of my addiction because it was really horrible. I think the predominant feeling I had was one of hopelessness. I thought that I was stuck, that I was going to be a junkie for the rest of my life, that there was there was no chance for me to do anything else. The only future I could see was being a bag lady, a bum, sleeping on heat or steam crates, whatever those are. The last straw was when I got fired. I got fired by my brother-in-law because I finally missed getting to the cash register first and missed picking up the mail first and also one of, that's another story. Anyway, so he caught on to what was going on and fired me. And that meant that besides the fact that I had no longer had any money coming in to support my habit, I could no longer steal any money from him to support my habit, and I no longer had a place to sleep. When that happened, I went to my parents and told them that I was a heroin addict and needed help. And I thought at the time that I was just strung out. But anyone that was shooting, not the shooting dope, I never understood that just the fact that I was shooting dope was a sign that I might be an addict. I just felt that I was physically strung out and that I needed help with that. What happened is that I went on methadone for 21 days. It was a detox. I didn't abuse that, although the first day I went to the clinic, the nurse offered to up my dosage. Why I didn't abuse that, I don't know. It wasn't like me. I thought about doing it. But I was really beat, and I didn't want to go back to where I had been. I wanted to change my life. At this place, they told me to go to NA. I started seeing a therapist. She told me to see NA. To go to NA. The guy I'd been living with that had gone through a rehab, a VA hospital in New Jersey, told me to start going to NA, and all this combined got me to my first meeting. And I was still on methadone. The people were very friendly. They gave me their phone numbers, two women. They told me I could have all the literature I wanted and all that kind of stuff. I bought a basic text that night. I went home and read all of it except for the stories at the back. It took a long time. I didn't go to 7 meetings the first week. I think I went to 1. I think maybe I went to 2 the next week and so on. I started meeting people in the meetings, and I started seeing them at other meetings. I was really lonely, and I started making friends in the program. That was the most important thing to me at first. I started seeing the same people in the same places, and they seemed to be happy to see me, and they'd invite me to go out and do things with them after the meeting. So I kept coming back. And I started taking advice or suggestions that I heard about. I didn't get a sponsor right away, but I'd hear people sharing meetings that their sponsor told them to do this, or it was suggested to do that, things like that. And I just started doing some of those things, like going to meetings, trying to think, yeah, what things did I do? I don't know. At the very beginning, it was just like anything else. I tried to start incorporating some of the things people suggested in my life, and it started working. I went through withdrawal after I got off of methadone, and I felt like shit for a long time. Not for a long time, actually. Probably for 2 weeks. And I managed to get through that. I thought New Year's Eve was going to be... I got clean shortly before New Year's Eve, and I thought that was definitely going to be my downfall. And I got through that. I went to a program dance with some people in the program. And I was pretty flipped out. I don't think I could say I had a good time, but I saw other people having a good time. What happened, I think, is that I started getting some hope. I saw that there was a lot of other people that had changed their lives. I heard a lot of people tell their stories, and there were some that were worse than mine. There were some that weren't as bad, but I saw people recovering, and I got some hope that I could do that too. I sort of just drew a blank. Maybe I should stop.
Right when you find hope.
Huh? Right when I found hope, right. Chris mentioned something about my spiritual. I think my spiritual path. I started to get an idea. For me right now, all that means is having a spiritual force in my life means that I can't do it alone anymore. that I admit that I can't do. It's like the first three steps. I admit that I can't do any of that, and I seek help. I turn to other people for help in getting through life, and that was something that I never was able to do before. I've come to recognize that I have a set of values that I have to do my best to live with, to not go against. It's when I react and I don't think through on the actions of when I forget to think about what the action I'm taking, what the results of that is going to be. That's when I go against, when I can go against what the right way for me is, and it's that brings about a lot of uncomfortableness is all I can think. I just can't go against the grain of what's right for me any longer. I could when I was using drugs, and it's not that I physically can. I still do sometimes, but the pain of that is too acute for me to do it very often. The result of that is that I'm a much happier person because I'm doing more often than before what's right for me, and I've learned a lot about myself and about what is right for me, which were things that I never thought about before. I've become a lot more aware of myself and who I am. That's all I got.